put $100 into the CFAL Savings Express plan and make sure your money keeps growing. Earn interest on your savings while you're sleeping, eating, or standing in line at the bank. Ready to invest? Start by putting $1,000 into our mutual funds and earn interest there too. Because at CFAL, your interest is our interest. Visit CFAL.com to start now. CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations of Bahamians.
Bahamas Liquidation and Auction Center, your friendly and affordable vendor one-stop shop, where you can get all of your groceries, kids' lunch snacks, and vendor snacks items at the best prices in town. Don't believe us? Find us on Mackey Street in the red, white, and black building south of Chesapeake Road. We don't stock anything. We just buy deals, so you better get there first. Call us today at 698-0123 or WhatsApp 557-2522 or follow us on Facebook and Instagram for daily updates. Remember, always make us your first stop.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I've got a full day today. I'm supposed to have two sets of guests joining me, but as we await their arrival, there's lots to talk about. But let me preempt the arrival of one set of guests just in case they don't make it. David Williams and Mr. Henry Higgins should be joining me this morning to promote an event taking place tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. That's Friday, the 14th of June, 2024, at 7 p.m. at Evangelistic Center. And that's Blue Hill Road and Vesey Street. Blue Hill Road and Vesey Street. Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture presents the Community Crime Forum, engaging the community voice. The theme of the event is, in honor of or recognition of Father's Day, the impact of fatherhood on crime. The impact of fatherhood on crime. I think the host for the event is Mr. Henry Higgins from the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture. Panelists, Mr. Sidney Rule. He is a representative of Fathers and Sons of Destiny International. Apostle Randy Hanna from the National Neighborhood Watch Association, and Dr. David Williams of Uplifting Men Ministries. It's going to be an engaging event on Friday evening. That's tomorrow, 14th of June, 2024, 7 p.m., Evangelistic Center, Blue Hill Road, Vesey Streets. My guest has joined me. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Say that again.
Good morning.
I can't seem to hear you because I don't hear no passion fruit, no mangoes. How are you doing, Mr. Palmer?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing great. Unfortunately, no, very few mangoes this year, but I give good news of the pear situation, so that should be looking good.
But what's going
in a few months or so?
What's going on in Elutra? Elutra is quickly becoming the breadbasket of the Bahamas.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
I noticed in Elutra. A couple of weeks ago there was a story about, in fact, it was remarks given by the chamber president, I think, in response to the opening ceremony for Lighthouse Point, the Disney experience down there. The individual remarked that they are drawing the government's attention to the inconsistent utility services mm-hmm. that they are plagued with.
Yeah.
Power, water, communication services.
Power is very difficult, Luther. It's always, every day there's something.
And he drew to our attention that the maintenance of public infrastructure is not commensurate or is mm-hmm. not aligned with the rapid pace of development mm-hmm. on the island. And I find that troubling, given that Eleuthera, a specific example, the development there is due not to the government's engagement, and I'm not discrediting the work of state actors on the ground in Eleuthera. It's not any government policy initiative that's driving the development in Eleuthera. It is the work of an established partnership between One Eleuthera Foundation, the people of mm-hmm. Eleuthera, and then the state,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I'm sitting here, and I can measure the pace of development in Eleuthera by assessing the continual reduction in produce coming to New Providence, right? Because Family Island vendors would send produce to New Providence for sales because right. they couldn't get those sales in mm-hmm. Eleuthera. But as development has spiked mm-hmm. in Eleuthera, less and less produce is available to Nassau vendors. That's a good thing for Eleuthera people. It's a good thing for Nassau people, New Providence people, because it should then cause us to develop more distribution systems and trade networks between the islands.
I think that there's a distribution issue, but there's also a supply issue, you know, because the average age of a farmer in Eleuthera, they did a survey, was 65.
Yeah.
So that means, and you know, they're ready to retire, and the young people don't want to get into that business. There's a lot, I know so many people who have family land. They've got 4 acres, 6 acres lying fallow.
Mm-hmm.
They could be growing all sorts of stuff. So there is there has to, you know,
something has to be done.
If you want to grow that sector, you have to incentivize it in some way. And I'm sure the government has some plans for that. But that is really, how do you get young people, that next generation, mm-hmm. into farming? Because it's not considered a sexy thing to be in. And it is hard work, you know. And so one of the ways is to improve the technology, you know, get more into hydroponics, more into, you know, technological ways of growing, which would appeal more to those sort of BAMSI graduates, mm-hmm. people that are coming through that system, creating opportunities for them. But if you want to just grow those, you know, it's hard work. But there's an amazing opportunity for pineapples.
Mm-hmm. Here is
in Eleuthera, and they can be grown. They don't have to be grown in that dark red soil that you have there. They had some consultants in recently that went up and down the island and spoke to farmers about expanding production in, and there is a way of doing it in different soils.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so and growing pineapples is very lucrative if you can guard people not thieving them from you, right?
Absolutely. Once you can protect the crop, mm-hmm. which is another element, like that's where state partnership comes in. When you have a strong community organizational strategy, then you are only relying on the state to ensure that public infrastructure is available. Mm-hmm. And security services are a part of that public infrastructure, but
water as well, you know, because you need water. And if you look at Eleuthera, if you go to the central northern parts, mm-hmm. it's very hard to drill wells there. You know, yeah. And there's certain parts which have fantastic water lenses. And so
right. You know, and that requires state engagement because mm-hmm. you want to ensure that individuals that have the agency and the resources mm-hmm. to prepare their own well are not damaging water lenses.
The Minister of Agriculture is very much involved in that, and mm-hmm. many meetings, town meetings, and consultation going on. So I know they're, you know,
focused
the government is focused
but
on it.
Here's an idea.
An opportunity.
Yesterday, We had a representative from the Nassau Cruise Port to talk about their Father's Day sipping shop. When I was doing my research, I found this article. Nassau Cruise Port donates nearly $2 million towards food security. That's that was on ZNS's platform 22nd of April of this year. So now...
So where did that money go to?
It went to... So the
feeding networks or...
That will assist the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources in its aim to increase food security. I'm going to tell you some of the projects. A poultry program for schools, a chicken broiler production program, and then redevelopment of the Blue Hill Road Farmers Market and an authentic Bahamian cultural concept store. So...
Because, you know, but the one thing I remember when I used to travel to Europe, every settlement had a market, and it was open every day, and you would go down there and you would get your crops for whatever you wanted to cook that day. And we just don't have that. We have like a Saturday.
We have a merchant. We have a merchant culture that in the same way that cultural imperialism works, the merchant class, merchant culture, and the agenda of the merchant class has squashed any indigenous agricultural strategies that we would use for survival.
I mean, it would be a few hundred yards or half a mile from a central district. So anyone could walk to it. Mm-hmm. It was within where people were living. And you have these markets everywhere.
And restaurants pop up around those spaces because of the...
Other opportunities.
And access to the fresh produce.
So that was the thing I found was kind of strange, that you have to get in your car, drive down all the way down Gladstone Road, on a Saturday, on the off chance that you would get what you wanted to get.
And that it was local. Yeah. So what if Disney partners with Wani Luther Foundation and a citizens organization, right? Just so we create formal structures to work with. Can Disney partner with the Lutheran community in the same way that Nassau Cruise Port
I think partnered. Disney is, from what I can see. I mean, right. I can't really speak for Wani Luther Foundation, but I know Disney is, very much engaged in that local community, and because of that development, you know, we have very little unemployment. Now that's been a good thing because the South has traditionally been very, that was a real challenge, you know, but now it seems to be catching up.
Absolutely.
But obviously, the Central and North are the big driving engines.
Absolutely. One more thing I want to... Well, Mark, you see this BPL in the news today, right?
Oh, Lord, don't get me on BPL. I just got my bill in yesterday. You know, they keep telling you the bill is going down. When I said the number
to
my wife...
Going down to your bank.
When I said the number to my wife, she said, oh, that's high. This wasn't like, oh, that's nice. That's a lot lower than last year.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to, the receptionist downstairs, that those prices are going to go down. She said, no. I mean, do we really believe it? Have we been given an explanation how that mechanism is going to work? It's me telling you something, but I'm not giving you the mechanism, right? That I can understand, or that you as a human being can understand. So, yeah, that makes sense. They're going to hedge this. That's going to do that. And then that'll this.
I think what we should do is this. We should... When the government decides it's going to initiate policies like this, we should make all the cabinet ministers that were involved in that policy decision take a test. They should have to sit in Rawson Square and take a test to determine their comprehension of the subject at hand. Like students are forced to do every year, these politicians should have to show the people who hired them that they understand the work before them. Cabinet ministers should have to show their contribution to the cabinet discussion, and that they have a satisfactory understanding or comprehension of the subject they're being assessed on. Because...
Somebody must understand this. I know the chamber has a very dedicated part of it that deals with this particular subject. I mean, I don't know whether they were consulted or not, but it seems like a big deal, what is being rolled out. Thank God we're now on liquid Not sure which we should have been on that 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Now we're finally so far behind the rest of the world.
You say
they'll be on something else.
You saying thank God. I'm very concerned. No, I'm very concerned about LNG. Where how the lines are going to run? Are they going to be underground? Are they going to be above ground? I'm almost certain they're going to be underground. Mm-hmm. But there's lots that we have to talk about before we implement LNG. I'm talking about the safety matters. Mm-hmm. I saw a video yesterday of an electrician. So I think one or two electric cars had crashed, or it may have just been one electric car that had a crash mm-hmm. with another vehicle. And apparently firefighters refuse to get near electric car fires. It was a terrible explosion. Mm-hmm. It was terrifying explosion on a highway. And the only thing you could do, I guess, is sit back and watch it burn until it burns out. And I know for 1,000%, there's been no public discourse about road safety and the introduction of electric cars. And so now while the world is talking about a shift to hydrogen-driven vehicles, given what was so blatantly clear this winter, where so many people's electric vehicles were unusable because they were not meant to be used in those in those cold temperatures, mm-hmm. what happens when hydrogen vehicles are on the roads of New Providence with people who think they are R. Kelly, but ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind? I just knock your car, right? How are we going to deal with the consequences of hydrogen-driven cars in multiple accidents? And you think an electric car fire collision can be catastrophic. What are we going to do when we get hydrogen cars? I know what people...
It is kind of hypothetical because that's down the road. I mean, you have to deal with...
I mean, you're saying it's hypothetical because maybe... Well, let me put it
like
this.
The technology hasn't really...
It's hypothetical because I can't afford it.
No.
It's hypothetical because it's not rolled out now, but it's something we have to prepare for. I'm 48. I remember watching the Jetsons, and now I'm watching people with jetpacks in the air, flying around like a cartoon I used to watch as a child. I'm watching people on hoverboards and hovercrafts that are taking flight higher than a chicken. Did you all know chicken could fly? Chickens can fly, but they don't
very well
because confuse the enemy.
They fly and they sleep in the trees.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Confuse the enemy. What I'm saying is...
But Aaron, things are moving so quickly. You know, I saw that recently certain jurisdictions have approved flying taxis. If you go to the Soviet Union, you have self-driving taxis, mm-hmm. Autonomous taxis. I don't even think we have that in this part of the world, but these things are all going to come in.
But they do have self-driving cars.
But a taxi, that was the weirdest thing. You know, you think these other countries are not really developed, but they have these things already.
But I want to see the jurisprudence. Who is responsible for medical costs when an accident occurs and it's an automated self-drive vehicle?
Yeah, I have no idea what that insurance policy would look like, but these things are coming.
But it started
with LNG. I mean, the thing about LNG technology, it's been proven for many years, right? It's safe. You know, again, your question is, how do we implement it here in the Bahamas, being a small island development state, you know, surrounded by water sort of things?
The critique isn't on the safety of LNG. The critique is on whether we are structurally, collectively, and individually prepared to adopt a new technology and to understand how our lives and our behaviors have to change to accommodate the new technology and to ensure that everyone is safe. It's 2024, and we have not mastered simple road technology. You know, we have a problem. We have more dollars than cents. We have for decades attempted to solve problems with money. And here we are in 2024, and we cannot master the basics, the basic technology. We cannot master electricity. We cannot master the car and road usage. And I can say something bold and controversial. With my fluffy self, with my overweight self, we haven't even mastered the fork. We haven't even mastered the fork. We can't get bank communications correct. And so, like, in the spirit of the conversation we're having today, I'm going to reiterate one more time. Due to an ongoing administrative crisis, the Bahamas will not be joining the Great Reset this year, or next year, or the year after. We still have to figure out if we could keep the power on. To people who are concerned that the Bahamas is going to go cashless, I say to you, how? How? I'm glad I'm of this age now, because I felt Corinne Mitchell's spirit on my head, that's my Grammy, on my head just now, so I could look at these young people and say, how? How are you going to go cashless? How are you going to continue to introduce cashless services? And that's the only option, no other options. And you cannot master the basics of the basic technology before you.
But cashless seems to be adopted, and it seems to be working. I mean, I know there's fraud on debit cards and things like that.
What do you call working? See, because in developed countries that have standards and regulations that govern these sectors, working doesn't just mean that 10 people could use it every day. It means that everybody at every level of society, every intellectual level, right, mobility level, can access these services, and they understand the services, and they work properly.
I mean, that takes time. But then if you look at what happened in India, when Modi, I think it was a couple of years ago, he moved away from cash.
They went cashless overnight.
And the thing was ballistic. You know, the issues were just enormous. But they took the view, we're just going to do it, right? We'll do it and then let everyone else.
The pretense of a democracy. And I hope people understand that. That's the pretense of a democracy.
Well, we don't live in a democracy. You know, we think that voting every 5 years is democracy.
But no, I know that.
Yeah.
You know that. Yeah. But the politicians that come to us every day demanding our accolades don't seem to know that. They seem to think that they could model a Modi.
But they know the system. They know that's what the system is. You know, we're the ones who keep thinking that we have some kind of democracy. And that doesn't just apply to us. It applies to most countries around the world. There are very few countries that have a democracy. Because if a democracy worked, then what the people wanted, you would see implemented. So to take our neighbors in the north, something like 80% of people consistently want safe gun legislation. Does it ever come through? No, because, you know, you have lobbying groups that have way more power. And it's the same thing here. You know, we will get something if it aligns with our special interests. With special interests, and we know who they are, kind of, don't we? You know, pull the strings.
Well, we don't, because of this new concept that the government thinks exists called confidential settlements of public issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's FOIA going, by the way?
What's FOIA? That's a yoga day.
But, you know, even that, you could get around it, because I've been watching all these FOIA requests regarding the pandemic. All the documents are redacted, and the majority, they think, oh, okay, and then they'll come up with an excuse, there's a corporate privacy interest. So nothing seems to work. You know, we want FOIA, but is it going to work? If I go to the Ministry of Health and say, please let me have mortality data according to vaccination status, because I just want to see if the policy worked over the last 4 years, would we get it? I doubt it.
I don't even think. You're talking about whether they will make the information available,
or if they even have it.
I doubt it. That's where I'm going.
In the UK, they refused that request, saying it was corporate confidentiality. So they provided the mortality data to the vaccine manufacturers, but not to the FOIA requests. So they're a way, you know, and the government, you know, our political directorate know the system. It's us that don't really know the system, how well it works, because we're kind of distant from it, and we get sold on a lot of things.
Because what you're doing, Mark, is you're validating what they're doing. We know how the system is supposed to work, and we know what they're doing with it. don't get caught up in the language of the narrative.
One democracy where democracy actually works.
No, that's not that's not the point that I'm making. I'm not critiquing democracy. What I'm saying is, don't say it works and we don't. That's not what's happening. It's not that the people have a misunderstanding of the system. It's that state actors think that they have a right. In fact, they have told us multiple times, we gave them the mandate to do whatever it is that they want. What is happening is that we know how the system is supposed to work, but we're watching politicians lie to us. And let me say it in bold letters. Politicians like to L-I-E, lie to us about what is supposed to be happening. We've seen breach after breach after breach. JDL, cargo systems company, questions of whether the Customs Act has been breached, questions of whether the Procurement Act has been breached. We're going to be looking for the next 3 weeks at these BPL stories. And in practically every story I had on deck yesterday, particularly from the Tribune, sources speaking on the condition of anonymity because they have not been authorized to speak have indicated that many of these contracts did not go to bid. When we read the articles, what's told to us is that many of these entities have not produced the agreement, right? The plans and the agreements that are supposed to be made public, right? And so what is happening is a continual breach of what is supposed to happen with an attempt to spin a narrative that everything is happening the way it's supposed to happen.
Now, the thing is, say, the narrative is spun, right?
Right.
But most people don't believe it, right? But it doesn't really matter whether we believe it or not.
It's whether we do something about it that matters.
That has to be from civil society, because there's no accountability. So you can break the procurement laws willy-nilly or whatever the regulation is to push whatever is through, and they know there's nobody going to get
Here's a very serious issue, and I think we're going to transition to the topic that we come to speak about today. In yesterday's show, I read this article, Government Not Honoring Industrial Agreements. I'm going to read a quote from Obi Ferguson Casey, the Trades Union Congress President, that's TUC. And he says, the story says, even though the unions have, quote, and this is from Obi, lived up to our commitment to maintain industrial peace for at least 3 years, close quotes.
Which is true.
The two trade congresses signed a memorandum of understanding with the PLP while they were in opposition. What we learned was that they presented the terms to all of the political parties that were vying in the upcoming election, but only the PLP responded to them. They say that's why this came about. Obi Ferguson points out to us or reveals to us one of the terms of the memorandum of understanding. And that was that we will, and I'm going to quote, the major problem we're having now is we made a commitment to the government that we'll try to maintain industrial peace. And the evidence shows we've done that for at least 3 years. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So many major issues have been on the table, and we've heard nothing substantive from those two unions. In the aftermath of that event, there was a formation of a third trade congress with Kimberly Ferguson, BPSU, and Belinda Wilson, BUT, at the helm. I imagine that is due to fallout from the way that this agreement was made. We are about to talk about the pandemic accord, the international health regulations, and the pandemic accord is a treaty that I presume our government has signed on to. I have not seen a statement saying they have, and I haven't seen a statement saying they haven't.
Well, the pandemic treaty did not get through. So that is postponed. They say they're going to do that by 2025, but the international health regulations were adopted. Right. What is interesting, going back to your conversation, is was it legally done? And right. It wasn't. You know, there was no vote on it. So they're supposed to vote and get 60, I think it's 2/3 majority to get it through. There was no vote.
They just postponed
they ignored
it.
Article 55 of their regulation. So they operate, the WHO operates in the way that most governments do. They do what they want. They fudge the issues. They don't follow their own internal regulations and guidelines. And they still get away with it.
Here's my concern.
Until governments go back and say that that's null and void because you didn't follow Article 55. It had to be presented 4 months in advance. It wasn't. It was produced like a week in advance. And it wasn't voted on.
Mm-hmm. And 4 months
in, vote called.
And 4 months in advance is not sufficient time for small island developing
not
states,
really.
Governments, and civil societies to assess the document.
It would be hard work.
And respond yep. up substantively.
Yeah.
But my concern is, in particular, is this. Have the relevant medical and healthcare unions been consulted, asked for their contribution, mm-hmm. given an opportunity to debate, to pass through the documents themselves and contribute position papers to the government on the question of adopting the pandemic accord and the IHR,
how could they?
Or voting on the IHR.
How could they? Because those documents were changing on a weekly basis. So what are you going to, until the final document was presented a week before the vote, you know, that doesn't give you any time to really, and there were quite a few changes, you mm-hmm. know, and so you need, if you and I are going to sign a contract, I want to see the final contract. I want to look through it. Mm-hmm. I don't want a document that's going to change in 3 days, 5 days, and then you give me one a day before with a deadline to sign it.
Look at the mess.
That doesn't make sense.
Look at the mess that's happened with the Electricity Act 2024. How many times had it been amended? I think Joe Beth Colby Davis needs to be tested. We need an assessment of how well you comprehend the subject matter you're in charge of, or are you just following directives given to you by other stakeholders in the conversation?
Yeah, you'd have to ask her that personally, but you know, they don't follow the rules, and that nobody seems to follow the rules.
But Mr. Palmer, that's not a question to ask her personally. This has nothing to do with her personally.
Okay,
it has right. It has to
test,
do
yeah.
with the person who holds the office of minister responsible for the matter. Anybody sitting in that seat would get it. I hope you all don't think that I wasn't going to put Joe Beth Colby on my list of people who could have resigned yesterday. And they would have gotten their flowers, but now it's too late.
But how quickly can a minister get up to speed? I know they have advice through the civil service, the parliamentary secretaries and all that stuff, but
now we can get to specifics.
Yeah.
Joe Beth Colby Davis is an energy lawyer. There's a reason why she was selected for this position.
Well, that's a good,
I'm gonna go as far as to say no, there's a reason why she's in the cabinet still.
Right. Okay.
But to say that that's a good thing, Mr. Palmer.
No, that's a good thing. She must have some understanding, a greater understanding than you and I.
It's only a good thing if citizens are centered in the decision-making. It's a
Which
good thing
are.
If the
yeah.
decisions you're making are on the behalf of the Bahamian people. And that has yet to be determined. That has yet to be determined.
I mean, the figures are astronomical. We're talking about $1 billion, right? That's the figures I've seen. To deal with the debt and with the mm-hmm. The upgrades.
Mr. Palmer, yeah. I got some
okay.
texts. Let's delve into the text. Here's a text for us. You asked for us to master one thing before adopting another thing. Why? Do I need to learn to swim before I'm allowed to travel on or in the water? No. Did we have to master the landline systems to use the cellular networks? No. The purpose of new technology is to move past the difficult and harder technology, making it more usable by more people. I want to interrogate this deeply. Mr. Palmer, I want to start by saying you need to know the mechanics of walking and your legs before you can be a competent runner.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know how to drive on a single lane road before you can transition to dual carriageways. Is that not evident to you on a daily basis, Texter, that we have not even mastered the use of a stop sign, but we want highway and overpass? No, you're making a, what's it?
It's like giving a baby running shoes.
Right, it's
saying this is a good technology to make, these are better shoes. It'll make you run faster, but you can't run, right?
There's a fallacy in what you're saying. You need to know how to swim before you can go and learn how to dive. See what I'm saying? That's what we're talking about. You need to prove that you are competent in the water before anybody will take you on a training course to scuba dive. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. You need to master beeper technology before you convince me that I should invest my state dollars in you operating a cellular company and getting paid buku bucks. But then nobody knows when the phone call's not going through. Why? We don't know. There's no standard, there's a standard, you call, the line's busy, you get the dial tone. When you call and the phone has been disconnected, you get a different type of mm-hmm. dial tone. When my calls go through with BTC, I don't know why. I don't know if it's because there's a poor signal. I don't know if it's because the person doesn't have data or they didn't pick up their phone. I just have no idea. I just pay in for mysteries and excitement and spontaneity. Anyway, that's the music. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to get back into this text, some more text. And then I want to say condolences to the family of the victim of the traffic fatality last night. You're on the clock with Erin Green. Mark Palmer's joining me this morning. We'll be right back.
Stay informed with the NASA Guard and your news delivered. Are you tired of chasing down the latest news? Why not have it delivered right to your doorstep? The NASA Guardian is now offering an unbeatable home delivery service. Special subscription rates. 3 months, just $44.80. 6 months, only $79.52. 1 year, an amazing value at $143.36. Your daily news fix all year round. Don't miss out on this opportunity to keep up with the latest in local and international news, sports, business, and entertainment. Subscribe today. Call us at 302-2360 or 302-2353. Our friendly staff is waiting to assist you with your subscription. The NASA Guardian. We've got the news you need. Don't wait. Call now and let us bring the world to your door.
Sign up now for the 2024 Michael Scooter Race. Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic. Taking place Monday, July 15th to Sunday, July 21st. At the Hope Center and the Kendall Isaacs Gym. We are shooting hoops instead of guns. Phone 601-4842 or visit our Facebook page. Sign up today for the 2024 Michael Scooter Race Basketball Classic. Peace on the Streets 2024 is coming.
Can Keg be what made Kala kifwete tetio nambay multiply service. Menu na Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center. Image, sisa no fe. Memba gay po lot location nyo. Image na governor ni na kamakelo. Mem si nou ta bezwen yon radiografi, mammografi, ekografi, or scanner pou fam gwas. Nou gen yo. Yon ekip komisyoner konsey radiolog. Certifiye tout employer yo. Yo chak ak prop domen yo. Yo bay dokte ou rezilta ou nan 24 tan. Rele 328-81-57 pou randevou nan Fort Terrace Diagnostic Center, lokasyon Kamakelod ou bien imaj nan Grosvenor Jodia.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas. Nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. And Mark, I see we have a caller on the line. Let's go to this caller quickly, because I will admit that this conversation could evoke and stir lots of thoughts and emotions and people, and I got some texts to get back to. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? I'm sorry we missed you, caller, over that break. Here's a text. Here's some text. I suspect this entire deal was constructed by phone call and pitched to the government as a wonderful win-win with neither the PM or review of the terms of the agreement. All they likely heard was, we'll give you 49% and we'll upgrade the grid. How wonderful is that? Well, let me put this on the table. I think that Mrs. Colby Davis is an energy lawyer. But one person is not sufficient to be able to parse through all of this information and make reasonable determinations in the time given. Even if they had a whole administration, it could be difficult for one person to pull together all of the elements of the conversation to ensure that a reasonable assessment is made. And so, again, that's not a personal indictment on Davis. It's an indictment on this political culture that cannot perpetuate or manifest or create sustainable or functional systems. We got a caller here. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Ms. Green. Morning, Mr. Palmer.
Morning. How you do?
All right, Ms. Green. Whenever I come across some local fruits and I think they up to some good quality, I could definitely drop them off to you, Mom, because you said something this morning that I agree with 1,000%, which is that you should make them sit down and take an exam to show how much they understand the issues that they are presenting to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I feel we should go a step further too, Ms. Green. I think that whenever there's any kind of new law or bill or reform that is being introduced,
mm-hmm.
we should find out exactly who's brainchild it is, you know what I mean? Who it is who looked around and decided that we need this thing. And then we need to quiz them exactly on that too, because, you know, we really need to understand how the process works and, you know what I mean, and what should be expected of our leaders and why the process cannot work in our favor. You know what I mean? We need to understand this thing. And I agree with you also, Ms. Green, that we need to think hypothetically. So I disagree with Mr. Palmer when he said that you cannot think hypothetically. Whenever you hear them suggest something that may come in the future, you know what I mean, you need to ponder on the pros and the cons of this thing, because, you know, sometimes when you hear them talk about things, more than likely they're gonna introduce it sometime in the future.
Yes, sir.
Kind of way. So,
in fact, in indigenous cultures, when decision making took place, they considered the implications of their decisions 7 generations into the future.
You must do that. You must do that, Ms. Green, because, and it's obvious, Ms. Green, that that civilizations before us considered living in a harmonious state with the earth. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean. Look at it. But nowadays, it seems as if individuals are trying to like compete or conquer nature,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to living in harmony with it, you know, that kind of way. Because, I mean, all the creation of all of these, I mean, because you see all these vehicles and different things, I mean, I think this is wrong, because what's going to happen to all of these old cars in the future? You know, I mean, where they're going to go and where they're going to continue to get the materials and the resources
mm-hmm.
to continue to build new ones.
How will this waste impact the earth,
yes,
the environment, and the future?
And that's only cars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this whole system of consumption, You know, whereas one time ago, you didn't, you know what I mean, like when it came to eating, you know, a couple hundred years ago, whenever when it came to eating, like there was no garbage. You didn't have any garbage. But nowadays in our society, everything we eat comes in a package. You know, that kind of way. So every twice a week or whatever, you find yourself, you know what I mean, throwing away a full garbage bag full of garbage.
Like why does an orange, right, or why does something that already, nature already packed it?
Yes, ma'am.
Right, why does it have to have so much packaging and unnatural, right, like synthetic packaging on it as well?
Yes, ma'am. So this whole culture of consumerism is killing us, you know what I mean? Because like I said before, you know what I mean, and it's like one question I always ask when I hear them talk about progress, it's all in the name of progress, right?
Yeah.
But what are we progressing to? I mean, you know what I mean? You should have a goal, right?
And a collective goal.
Is it just a continuous progression until we destroy ourselves? Because what is the goal? Like, what are we progressing to? And I mean, how it could be progressing to destruction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we are just destroying things and making things extinct and all those other type things. But like I say, Ms. Green, I'm in total agreement with you this morning. And I said, look here, whenever I come across some sweet, sweet native mangoes or whatever,
yes, sir,
I could drop them off for you here, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
I hope you have a nice day, Ms. Green, and good day to you too, Mr. Palmer. Yeah,
thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. And listen, don't tell me when. Let it be a surprise. Good morning, caller. Let's go to the next call, producer, quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good. How you do?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Good morning.
Listen, Aaron, like the gentleman was saying earlier, in reference to the exam, these persons we are talking about wanting to do an exam won't even answer a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
So why would they want to do an exam? That's the first thing, right? And you're talking about with the packaging and stuff with the fruits and vegetables now.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Palmer was talking about the community gardens. I mean, the community farmers market. I think that would be a beautiful idea because isn't it similar to something that former Prime Minister Minnis was talking about over the hill thing?
I think so.
So I think that would be a good idea for the government to do, like how they have the one in Golden Gates, put one someplace in the East Street area and then put one someplace near the Eastern area. So all the communities would have, you don't need one in each community, but you would need one, at least four for this island. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It would be close in proximity for everybody to be able to get to on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that would be a good idea.
Thank you. Thank you very much, caller.
And how that would also help, you know, dealing with the previous caller's remarks, is when you buy locally, they're not going to package it in plastic. You know,
right.
You're going to get it in a paper carton or you're going to put it in your bowl. And so it's going to solve a lot of these issues, you know, I think buying local.
Mm-hmm.
But remember that they used to have a produce exchange on Market Street. Or was it East Street? East Street, there was that warehouse by the police station that used to sell, where they used to sell fruits back in the day. And that's a perfect location because it is easily accessible. You know, people driving past that, but also people can walk to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we are. I've become a minimalist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this mindless consumption that the gentleman spoke about earlier, it's crazy, you know?
And
we've become like our northern cousins.
And it's no longer just an individual, personal culture. We see this culture in governance.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and a lot of what's not available to the most vulnerable has been lost due to just wastage, not necessarily corruption, not necessarily malfeasance, but in the biblical way that being, sloth is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sloth. It's a lack of awareness, a laziness as well. Where things are just wasted, right? That's like the electricity that gets lost as the line runs.
The water that leaks out.
Right.
The food that's wasted. You know, in the States, 30% of food is wasted at the production end.
Yes.
Isn't that something? So only 70% hits the stores, and then it's get wasted more by what we let rot in our fridges. So probably only 50% of the food that gets produced is actually eaten.
And even the rotten food has value, mm-hmm. can be used to create compost. In case people have not noticed it, one of the issues we're facing now and will be continue to face is a loss of topsoil. This is a global issue. Yeah. It's one of the biggest issues facing the planet. And in terms of our food mm-hmm. security, the loss of topsoil, how we can help to lessen that loss is by composting everything. Mm-hmm. We live in the tropics. Everything green is growing all the time. You mm-hmm. can't stop it from growing like mm-hmm. my belly. It just wouldn't stop growing. All of this, we could be using the waste, the scraps, and the unsold food.
Regenerative agriculture as well.
Right.
That's where, I know they, if you speak to Tim Harbour at the Juan Luther Foundation, they're looking at, you know, developing regenerative mm-hmm. agriculture, which is exactly that, using the composting, using trees in different proximities.
And yeah.
It's just, which has been used by indigenous communities
for thousands of years.
And it creates more topsoil.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Here's a text I wanted to read. It says, I'm still pondering what to do in light of this RBC client agreement that tells me I have to agree to accept the loss if someone fraudulently uses my account and they have the right to share every payment in my history with government and unnamed others. On top of that, I thought about this secret energy agreement and I wondered who is supposed to protect us from these people. You can't even go to the police if you're raped by... Who fights for us? Texas, you know why I didn't say that word. My data belongs to me, not the bank. They cannot dictate how my data is to be used and who my data is shared with. Where's Consumer Affairs and the Information Commissioner? Where are the 2,000 plus lawyers that we have in this country? Where are the legal students that are working in an environment that encourages them to be bold?
Because somebody did bring up this issue about IRCA, right? Mm-hmm. What is IRCA's role in this? And they responded by saying that the minister has the right to make, you know, mm-hmm. these.
We read that yesterday. That story is in yesterday's Tribune.
Right. And then they have 3 years to see if it works. And only then, and 2.5 years after that, they have to submit a report to IRCA.
That's okay.
I mean, that ain't regulation.
No, that's okay because they have 2.5 years to raise $1 billion, Mark. Mm-hmm. See, they want to play games with the Bahamian people. It's okay.
But
they have 2.5 years to raise $1 billion. It's them and the person who turned on the generator in 2018 when it wasn't ready to be turned on and it caused a catastrophic fire. They have to raise $1 billion in 2.5 years. So I have a hard task ahead of me, but boy, what they have ahead of them.
But who looks after us is a very good point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I tell you what, MPs are supposed to be looking out
after their constituents,
for us. I want to make this note. I know we're almost out of time. Mr. Palmer, I know we didn't even get into the discussion. I saw a story where Fred Mitchell, in his capacity as MP for Fox Hill, was thanking MP Lundy. He's the MP for South and Central Andres, I think, with responsibility for Crown Land in the office of the Prime Minister. And Fred Mitchell, in his capacity as MP for Fox Hill, was thanking the Minister of State for his assistance in sorting out some Crown land matters. Meanwhile, the people in Andres, and primarily in his constituency in Andres, can't get a word back about Crown land from the government. They can't hear nothing from the government about their Crown land. And in fact, I'm certain that from the acronym NIF, National Investment Fund, started swinging around, nobody is really hearing anything satisfactory about Crown land. I see we have one last call. Good morning, caller.
Good day, Stark. You know, voice along with you.
Berman, if you I thought you was... Listen, I thought you had Jesus on the line with you, and he was coming to reprimand me with that echo.
No, my point is, the reason why I'm calling, right?
Yes, sir.
Of course, the godly dated universe also, if I haven't said it. The reason why I call, right?
Mm-hmm.
I notice a lot of big figures comes up from government, right?
Mm-hmm.
What they want, what they had gotten, what they want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And what puzzled me, right,
mm-hmm.
The majority of people that are working in our country, right, say, getting small pay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So my point is, they've taken it from the people who are getting small pay and the people who are getting, or what has plenty of money, only small money coming from them also.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out what they trying to do with the small people. The people making the small money, they don't want them to get ahead.
They
don't want them to get rich.
They maintaining the plantation, Brayman. They maintaining the plantation. But it's a real point. These are things that people are thinking about every day when they're trying to figure out how to make a dollar out of 50 cents. Anyway, Mark, as we close the show, I want to say this. Every day I used to kind of take care of my grandmother. Nobody could take care of Corinne Mitchell, but I used to kind of take care. And every day she would fire me. Every day she would fire me, send me home, and tell me, make sure I come to work early the next day. That's employment motivation, right? I just want to say, if I came to anybody in this country who is my boss and I told them I gonna need $1 billion to fix this problem, y'all was gonna fire me in the middle of Rawson Square.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, y'all get to work. You only have 2.5 years to find $1 billion. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Tomorrow we talk in sports. I've been stunned by the NBA playoffs. Next week we're going to have Mark Palmer back with us on Thursday. We're going to pick up this conversation, the pandemic accord.
And international health process, regulations.
Yeah. Right, but the process has been mm-hmm. postponed for the accord adoption, but we're going to focus on the IHR regulations.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You guys, have a great day. Oh, yeah, and eat a mango today. 1, 17, 100. Eat a mango today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.